Well, brothers and sisters, let's come back together. I was chatting to a dad at Robbie's football club the other night. He was very friendly. He took an interest in my work, and the conversation turned easily to the Christian faith. I actually told him about some of the questions we're asking this term at Sunday at 6. Can you trust the Bible? Can you believe in miracles? Hasn't science disproved the Bible? The man I was chatting to was very polite. He told me he was not convinced the Bible is true. But, he said, if it makes you feel better, I'm very pleased for you. How often have you heard someone say that? If it makes you feel better, I'm very pleased for you. That's another way of saying the Christian faith is only psychological. Your faith in Christ is just a delusion. It makes you feel better. It helps you psychologically to believe that death is not the end. It helps you psychologically to believe that God is your Father and that He loves you. It helps you psychologically to believe that life has meaning and purpose. But it's not really true. I want to say three things tonight. Firstly, Christianity is an historical religion. We don't just believe in Jesus because that makes us feel better. We believe in Jesus because He lived, died, and rose again in history. Secondly, many aspects of the Christian life do make us feel better. But thirdly, some aspects of the Christian life are pretty tough. In fact, often it would be easier to live as a non-Christian. And so we're Christians because we believe the Bible is actually true, not just because it makes us feel better. Firstly then, Christianity is an historical religion. Look at verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. What's that saying? Obeying God's law could never put you right with God. Well, in theory, if you and I kept God's law perfectly, we would be right with God. We would go to heaven. But no one has ever lived apart from Jesus who's been able to keep God's law. We are by nature rebels against God. We cannot keep His law. Therefore, we're condemned to hell. And the law is powerless to save us. But what the law was powerless to do, God did. He did something objective, something which happened in history. It's factually true. What did God do? Verse 3, He sent His Son. Jesus obeyed the Father. He left the glory of heaven to step into time that first Christmas, to be born as a baby. He was born, verse 3, in the likeness of sinful man. He became a human being, but He never sinned. And when He died on the cross, He became, verse 3, a sin offering. He took the punishment for our sin. Now, all of that is either true or it's not. If it's not true, the Bible says we're to be more pitied more than all men. 1 Corinthians 15:19. if it's true, then Jesus is God. He created you. He controls everything that happens to you. And one day, you will stand before him as your judge. And he will have the power to let you into heaven or to send you to hell. So you can't just fob me off and tell me you're very pleased if it makes me feel better. The issue is Christianity true? And if it's true, Jesus demands that you dedicate your life to serving him. So you must ask yourself, is this true? And if you're not sure, you'd better start looking at the evidence. We're going to be running two Christianity Explored courses after half term. One for teenagers and one for adults. And that's a very good opportunity to bring along your questions and to take a look at the evidence for the truth of Christianity. Is Christianity purely psychological? No, it's based on objective truth. It's an historical religion. Number two, many aspects of the Christian life, however, do make us feel better. I had a mental breakdown nearly 2 years ago. And because I'm a minister, and I'm fairly well known in South Wales, many of the evangelical ministers in South Wales came to see me. It meant so much to me when they read the Bible to me, when they gently explained the scriptures to me, nursing me back to health, when they prayed for me. It had a tremendous effect on my mental state. The doctors were terrific. I still take the tablets. But the Bible and prayer were a very important part of my healing. It's God meeting me through the Bible and in prayer which keeps me going to this day. So faith in Jesus does help us psychologically. In fact, verse 5, the Holy Spirit controls our thinking. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. So by nature, we allow sin to influence our minds. Verse 5, their minds are set on sinful desires, selfish desires, which go against God. But, verse 5, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So as a Christian, I submit my mind to the Holy Spirit. I say, Lord God, help me to think good thoughts. Verse 6, Holy Spirit, control my mind. I find that a wonderful psychological help. I've known times when my mind felt out of control. I find it a wonderful thing to entrust my mind, to give over control of my mind to God, to think Christ-like thoughts, godly thoughts, biblical thoughts. That truly is the way to be well psychologically. So being a Christian helps psychologically. Look at verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. What's that saying? You're not a slave of God if you're a Christian. You are a child of God. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of sonship. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And that means you can call God Father. Abba. Now this Abba is not the pop group. This is the term of respect and affection which Jesus used of his father. It's the Aramaic word for father. It's not quite like saying daddy. There's more respect in it than that. But it is a term of intimacy with God. Within our families, we have special names which we call each other. Affectionate names. Intimate names. I've got special names for my wife and special names for my children. I'm not going to tell you what they are. They're too precious. If someone else used the special names which we use within our family, we wouldn't like it. There are special pet names for each other. But amazingly, you can use the affectionate name for God which Jesus uses for his father. Abba. In other words, you're brought into a relationship of love and security. But there's more. Verse 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When I was a student at Oxford, I went through a year of profound doubt. I genuinely feared that Christianity was not true. Then one day, I was alone in my room, and all I can say is, God met with me. It's hard to describe that experience, except to say, I felt God's presence. And I knew I belonged to him. There are moments when we struggle to believe. But there are moments when the Spirit confirms to us that we are children of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So Christianity is objectively true. And many aspects of the Christian life do make us feel better. What could be more wonderful than knowing that you are a child of God? Number three, however, some aspects of the Christian life are very tough. Life is easier for the non-Christian, very often. Christianity is not a psychological crutch. It's tough to go on following Jesus. Look at verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Paul is saying here that the whole creation groans. The whole world is suffering because of sin. Why is there sickness, pain, famine, death, warfare, and so on? Why are there dreadful things in the world? Answer, verse 20. Because God subjected creation to frustration. God punished Adam and Eve for eating the forbidden fruit. God cursed the world. We live in a sin-cursed world, a world of suffering. And the Christian is not immune from this. Verse 22, the whole world groans. And verse 23, we groan too. Christianity is no escape from the groaning the suffering, the frustration of the whole world. But we groan more than non-Christians, don't we? The non-Christian can believe the lies of our society. The non-Christian man can just enjoy internet porn. The Christian man has to battle to remain sexually pure. The non-Christian couple can just sleep together. The Christian has to battle to wait for marriage. The non-Christian child in school can just join in the bad behaviour in the classroom. The Christian child has to battle to be different. Christianity is not a psychological crutch. It's the experience of groaning, struggling to follow Jesus in a society which hates Jesus. Often you don't feel great as a Christian, and you have to meet up with your Christian friends and say, "Pray for me, I'm struggling." Furthermore, what the Christian has to do is learn the discipline of waiting. Our society says, take your pleasure now. Whether that's in the area of sex or spending money, you know, just use your credit card, buy now, pay later. But for the Christian, it's different. Our real joy as Christians will come not today, probably not tomorrow, but sometime in the future. Our real joy will come when Jesus comes again and creates a new perfect world. In the meantime, we have to exercise faith. Wonderfully, verse 27, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit enables us to pray. But exercising faith is hard work. Our present experience is in verse 35. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Right around the world tonight, believers in Jesus Christ literally face persecution, imprisonment, great hardship, because they follow Jesus Christ. And what they have to do, and what we have to do in our troubles, is exercise faith. We have to believe something. We have to believe, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's easy to say on a Sunday night in church. But if you're being bullied at school because you follow Jesus, it takes enormous courage and strength actually to have faith, to believe if God is for me, who can be against me? Following Jesus is not the soft option. It's the challenging option. I know some of you are the only Christian in your year group, and that's tough. I remember what it was like. The Christian has to believe, verse 37, I am more than a conqueror. I'm on the winning side. Jesus won the victory when he died on the cross. I'm included in his victory over sin, death, and hell. The Christian has to be convinced, verse 38, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. What I find is, when I pray, when I say these truths out loud, somehow they get ministered to my soul. And I'm able to know, yes, in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. Yes, if God is for me, no one can be against me. God's word gives me enormous strength and help. But it's not the easy option. It's the tough option. So, in conclusion, we believe in the Christian faith because it's actually true, not just because it helps us psychologically. It does help us psychologically, but it's not the soft option. It's not a crutch. It's a challenge to follow Jesus. And if I didn't believe it was actually true, I'd give up tomorrow.